And it says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are the master of all things. We praise you and we thank you for all the things that you have given us. And Lord, though we may still be in need here or there, or we may have desires of the heart that we continue to petition you to like you command us to, we can be grateful and content with the things that we have. I pray, Father, that you help me not mess this up tonight, but that, Lord, you speak clearly to us through your word, that we may find contentment with everything you've given. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Going back again, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5, we must look at both verses for us to truly see. We got to look at both passages here. I know we just read it this morning, but hey, I didn't got it memorized, and maybe you don't either. 1 Timothy 6, verse 5, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. The lack of contentment brings a host of troubles. It brings severe issues into the life. A lack of contentment brings worry. It brings jealousy. It brings covetousness. It brings debt. It brings addiction and obesity. It brings so many things to the person. And yet, we still lack contentment. There was a trick that the television started doing in the 90s. You see, back in the early days of television, or even on the radio, when you have radio programs, I still listen to the old radio programs. Midway through, they'd the soda pop or whatever it is that they would sell. They would stop. We drink Ovaltine at our house. You know, whatever's going on in the show, they stop to talk about Ovaltine or whatever it is that they had. And we shifted away from that because it was corny. But guess what they started to do after that? They put things in these sitcoms that you'd always be paying attention to without really paying attention to. Right? Was it Matthew Perry just recently died? I've never watched a full episode of the show Friends. I don't recommend that you do it either. But where were they, the tourists? Even without knowing the show or having watched the show, I could tell you where they were most of the time. They were in the coffee shop. You'll watch another show, they're always in a bar. You'll watch another one, they're always over here, they're always over there. You'll look into some of the, they've always got a coffee in their hands. One of those $5 deals. They've always got food that they've got, or they're going out to eat, they're at a restaurant. I remember growing up, Dallas, that TV show Dallas my mom would watch. They were always at the big country club. I can't remember the name of the restaurant, but they're always in this big expensive restaurant, dressed up in fine clothes, right? And they're having these conversations there. We have been taught to just consume things blindly. And if you're not blindly consuming things, there's something wrong. And that becomes an issue today. Why is it that so many people blow so much money at the grocery store just to have food delivered to them to work every day? Why is it that we sit there and we look at our cars and say, well, I need this vehicle or that vehicle? Or what about philosophies? I tell you what, I have never, and I praise the Lord for this because it ain't my strength. I praise the Lord that I have never looked over at what the world had and said, you know what? I'd rather have that than God. Were God not hanging on to me, guaranteed that would have happened. Right? That's the biggest miracle. Not that I'm clinging to God, that makes sense. But the fact that God would cling to me and stop me from going out there and going wild into things. I've known a lot of young people. I talked to you this morning about that. Brother Lynn showed me the pictures of the people that had come into the church. People that I loved. And I'm sitting there and their names are flashing into my mind for the first time in years. And I go, oh, I remember them. I remember that day. I remember going there. But one after one, each one of them became ill-contented toward what God had for them. And they looked over at what the world had for them. And many of them went off into a hot mess of a life. Some of them, their lives are not so much a hot mess, but their eternity is not looking all that great. That terrifies me. That bothers me. Because I love them. I care for them. I think that's what a lot of sinners don't realize, is the amount of love that Christians actually have for them. Well, how can you love me and not think I'm right all the time? How convoluted can you be? Well, you've got to agree with everything I believe with in order to love me. That ain't true. I've never met a single relationship where somebody truly loved another person and they were okay with everything they were doing. You ask my wife. She loves me to death. But I bet she's got a list of things. She's like, man, if he don't knock that off. You know what I mean? Well, if you don't believe that I'm this or that, or if you don't believe that I have this, that I've got this or I've got that, or I'm this gender or that gender, you clearly don't love me. No, I do love you, and that's why I'm concerned. If I didn't love you, I'd let you go. I wouldn't fight you on it. I wouldn't bring it up to you. If I wasn't concerned, right? We show that love. But man, I tell you what, I'm glad I've been content with what the Lord has for me. And I encourage some of you young people, look to see what God has for you. And I promise you, you can be more than content with it. Because what the world's going to offer you is a lie. It's a mirage. It looks good, but it never does anything. It never does what they say that it will. We ought to be content. Why? Because these things that the world supposes you should have, or a lack of contentment, so you're always chasing things, will make you miserable. Will make you miserable. And that's why so many people today, they've got the maxed out credit cards, they've got garages and basements you can't walk through, because they need this new thing that's going to fix my life. This brand new thing I'm going to buy is going to make everything right. Let me tell you about making everything right. One day Jesus Christ went up on a cross and he bled and he took a punishment for you. And by believing in him and repenting of your sins, you can have salvation. And if you're here and you're saved, your life is fixed. What's a chopper, a hopper, a planner, an organizer, a sorter, a dog collar, what is that going to do compared to what Christ has done for you? I ain't saying it's wrong to, if you need something or you got a hobby going, I'm not saying that's wrong. You know, just recently the kids and I, we went up and with Danielle, we went up and we picked out a new board game for the house. We like to play board games. It ain't wrong to go out and buy something every now and then. Ain't nothing wrong with having stuff as long as that stuff doesn't have you. As long as you can sit there and say no. As long as you can sit there and walk away from it. A lot of folks, they become so, they lack contentment so much that they can't walk away from things. You see, they have a lack of gratitude. They have a lack of gratitude. Verse 6 of our text in Philippians. Be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Not to tread on what Brother Dennis brought us last week, but I tell you this, if you're not looking at your stuff and you're not raising it up to God and saying thank you for it, you're going to become ill-contented. You're going to lack contentment. All right? For every time you sit there, you sit there and you're driving and your spouse is driving, you stop and praise God you got two cars to be driving. Right? I even said this, to have one bathroom in the house. Now, we were talking about outhouses a couple weeks ago. aren't you glad to have a bathroom in your house? Now listen, we're all tough enough to do it. We all were tough enough to do it. My mama and papa's property, that's what you had. You weren't allowed to go into mama and papa's trailer in and out. You had to use the outhouse. I'm sure many of us have outhouse stories. But aren't you glad you got a bathroom in the house? Right? Aren't you glad you got a second car? Aren't you glad for a pillow to lay your head on? Jesus used a stone. Aren't you happy? Aren't you glad? I mean, you sit there, you walk, you stand up, and you go, wow, that hurts, this hurts, that hurts. And those are legitimate things. I'm not putting them down. But then you get up and you walk around, and it hurts to walk around. But my friend, you're walking around. Lord, thank you. And again, not to discount the pain. You got to give that to the Lord too. You got to ask Him to help you with that. I'm not saying we ignore it. You bring that before God like you would anything else, but you be grateful for what you can do. Because for all of us who are at home sick, there's people who are in the hospital sick. And for all the people who are sick in the hospital, there's people back into bed in hospice. Right? We need to be grateful for where we are. Grateful for what we have. I'm glad to be a member of a church. I'm glad for the statutes of God. They have protected and preserved my life. The things that God has brought us all to this moment. So we stand up, we say, Lord, thank you for the rules. Lord, thank you for teaching me these things. Have you ever been in a situation where because you followed the rules, your life was spared, or your life was saved, or great bodily harm was taken away from you because you followed the rules? You say, hey, listen, if I'd have broken the rules, I don't know what would have happened. We had that issue going on in our bathroom, and I found the reservoir where all the water goes, and the water was steaming. And I go, that doesn't look good. Water inside a well shouldn't be warm, right? So I sat there and I thought, well, if it's hot, don't touch it, right? And I'm grateful before I started monkeying around with it, I went down and I shut the breaker off. Because there was an exposed wire heating up that water. Now, I don't know what would have happened if I touched it. If I sat there and I put the shop vac down in there and started going, I don't know what would have happened. But guess what? I followed the rules. Marty Somerset, the guy who trained me in maintenance, one of the guys who took me said, all right, now you see that? That's a good way to die. Don't do that. And I heard that cantankerous old man's voice in my head. You see that? That's how people die. Don't touch that. And I went down, I shut it off. And would you believe after about 10, 20 minutes, that stuff got cool? There was no longer steam coming off of it? Oh, yeah. Hey, follow the rules. Lord, thank you. You know, those are rules for not getting shocked. How about the rules God has given us? Lord, thank you for these rules. Thank you for telling me about promiscuity and lying and how to be a husband and how to be a pastor and how to be whatever it is that you've called me to be. Lord, thank you for putting them there. We're talking about the qualifications of a pastor. And for as much as it is awkward for me to present those to you, I am glad that they are there. I'm glad for them. Why? They protect you, they protect me, and they honor the Father. We're thankful. Everything in your life, be grateful. No matter what it is, be grateful. And if we have gratitude, contentment is right around the corner. As I said this morning, any devil would love to have the forgiveness you've been given. Any angel would love to have the relationship you have with God. I want you to think about that in heaven at all times. Holy, holy, worthy is the Lord. They are always singing and shouting His praises. Holy, holy, holy. When we get up there and we sing, we'll sing songs of redemption. And they won't understand. I mean, they'll understand, but they won't understand. They'll get it, but they won't get it. You have something of immense value. You have something you ought to be glad for. And that gratitude should be expressed often, or else you too will lack contentment. When you stop thinking about how grand it is to have the things that you have, right? We slip, we fall. Verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Let us, my friends, have some temperance. Now look, this is me, one of the most overweight guys you know right now, telling you, have temperance. Have temperance. Know when to cut yourself off a staff. Know when to say no. Know when too much is too much. Right, as Brother Art's always saying, a man's got to know his limits. And he ought to. We know we could look up right now how many calories you need in a day. Stick to it. Anybody, ow, that hurt. Stop preaching like that. We all know exactly what it is that we should be saying and should not be saying so as not to hurt other people. Hold back on those things. I mean, what is a person that cannot control, or sorry, let me say this properly, refuses to control the actions of their body? What is it that partakes in that sin you're not supposed to have? That'd be these hands right here, am I right? As the kids sang this morning, oh, be careful, little eyes. Oh, be careful, little ears. And then it starts to get personal. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you eat. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you take. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go, what you do. We need to be very temperate in our behavior. Now again, if you have a need or you've got the ability, go ahead. But don't go beyond what you should. I knew a guy just recently, he was telling me this. He was talking about something that somebody purchased. And he said, of course, I couldn't spend so little on that, so I got another one. I go, Now here's the thing. If you've got $1 million in the bank and you spend a couple hundred bucks more on something, I understand. But if you ain't and you're spending like you do, don't do that. Don't do that. We need to be temperate in things. Again, it is not about how much that we can throw back out there. You can hang on to a little bit of that money. Right? You can be reasonable with yourself. Whether it is at the dinner table, at the store, or in any other part of your life, the buffet line, whatever, be temperate. Because in allowing yourself too much, you teach yourself that I can have whatever. You practice that behavior, and you're used to eating what you want, or you're used to taking what you want, or buying what you want, and you don't pause to think, do I need this thing? We just went out and we bought that air fryer. Oh, it's not just an air fryer. It's a rotisserie, it's a dehydrator, it's a convection oven. I sold it hard to my wife. I said, see, and it's $40 off. We got that thing. We've been using it every day, sometimes multiple times a day. Sometimes you get something and it's just, that's what we needed. Ours broke. We do a lot with it. We got a lot of people in the house. Makes it nice and easy. Right? And to be honest with you, I like air-fried food a whole lot better than I like fast food or deep-fried food. Right? That's not a biblical point, but there it is. I got an amen on it anyway. I got two of them. But it's on sale. It's a reasonable thing. It's got this much to it. It's good value for what I'm getting out of it. So there you go. Some of you, you're like that when you buy your cars. Well, I need this tow capacity. I need to fit this many people. I need it for this. I need it for that. The gas mileage needs to be like this. Or if you've got other things, like I'm using it for work, maybe it's going to be a little bit different for that. Who knows? But we need to be temperate. Getting what I need, not the $130,000 Tesla if I'm making part-time at the Taco Bell. I can't tell you how many people came in for a $1,400 a month apartment. Working full-time, both of them at Taco Bell. I go, you guys do know that between the two of yous, you don't make enough to afford the rent. Like, I'm looking at their pay stubs going, you're about $200 short just to pay the bill. Oh, it's okay, our parents are going to help us. Okay, you have a good day. It's amazing. It's amazing the home runs some of these people try to hit. And that's what we're seeing out there. Oh, they got to have the Adidas this, and they got to have a Nike that, and a coach this, and a coach that. Again, every now and then, not a terrible thing. But again, if you're sitting there looking at zeros on the wrong side of the number in your bank account, don't play. Don't do those things. Be temperate. I'll sit there and I'll go out, I'll go to a fellowship or something like that, and I'll get food on there, and somebody comes up to me and they go, well, you ought to take more than that. No, I ought not to. Oh, I ought not to. I got it yesterday at lunch. Brother, want to come up and grab some dessert? Nope. He goes, what do you mean no? What I mean by no is yes, but I know better. I know better. Okay. I got into a discussion with somebody like this before. Do you want some of this? No. It was back when I first got diagnosed with, like, it's getting worse. I got diabetes. I got to keep it in track. Well, I got diabetes too. It's no big deal. Your doctor and my doctor are two different people then. Because my doctor's like I'm scared of him a little bit, you know, going in there. That we're going to check your numbers. I would rather sit in the principal's office while they checked my grades. Feels like that again, right? What'd you get? And they read off the percentage, and I go, oh no, mom's going to kill me. Hey, temperance. Just because it's there don't mean I got to have it. Just because it's on sale doesn't mean I need it. You know what I mean? The things that I have seen, folks, I wish I could pour out my mind. You could see some of the stuff I've seen people do. Just the terrifying things. You know, you go in there, hey, can you go check on my grandma? You go knock on grandma's door, and you almost get killed yourself by a tsunami of QVC packages just coming out the door. None of them opened. Temperance. Hold off. Wait. Be intelligent about your decisions. Find things that are equitable. Find things that are balanced. Verse 8, as we began reading this morning, we'll go back to be diligent in these things. Where your mind is, right? As Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If your treasure is in Walmart, that's where your mind will be. If your treasure is over there in some of the fancy shops in Frankenmuth, that's where your heart will be. If your heart is in the fastest of cars and in the most beautiful of decorations and in the fanciest of this and the fancy of this, fanciest of that, that's where your heart's going to be. And every time something comes around, you're going to go, oh, look at that. Ever get a text message for something that you like? Didn't that just bother you? Number one, how'd you get my number? Number two, how dare you come walking across? I'm trying to do some stuff, and you're sitting there texting me about a brand new coffee flavor available at the shop. This is not the time for that. What happens when you come across an advertisement or something? Your mind wanders, doesn't it? Your mind wanders. That's what Brother Charlie was telling us this morning. We'll sit there. The devil doesn't have to stop you. He's just got to distract you. And that's what these things are. You're sitting there, you're planning your budget, and all of a sudden you get an email in, maybe not Sam's Club, but you know, the local store or whatever is having a sale on this thing that you really don't need. So you go out and you buy four of them because you never know. And they sit in your garage until the day your kids come and they're taking your stuff out of the house and they throw it in the dumpster. Oh, come on, let's be diligent. Let's not let our minds wander. Let our minds be trained and disciplined. A mind that wanders chases new things. It chases new things. Oh, what's that? You got a brand new this? You got a brand new that? Well, let me come on over there and take a look at it. Oh, it's so pretty. Oh, it's so nice. Oh, it's this. Oh, it's that. Are you in the market for a new this or that? Well, no, but I am now. You know what I mean? If you went down to Frankenmuth and you caught me in that cupcake shop down there, brother, come on over here. Let's talk about adult onset type 2 diabetes. You know, that's what we would do. When you sit there and you see somebody wanting things that they're not supposed to want, wanting things that are no good for them, do we not pull them aside and say, "I want to remind you of something"? I was working with a guy one time. And we were in somebody's apartment. We were doing repairs. And he was talking to the lady, because I wouldn't go into a lady's apartment when she was there by herself. I'd always have somebody come with me. So he's sitting there chatting her up, doing exactly what I don't want him to do. And they're sitting there exchanging phone numbers. And I hey, come here. Grabbed his hand. I go, let me see your hand. Is your hand okay? He lifted up his hand. It was his ring hand. I go, you see that? I go, you see that? Well, yeah, but it's just her phone number. I go, who are you lying to, me or you? Who are you lying to? You chill out. Be content. Be content. A mind that wanders chases new things. Why? Just for the experience. Just to have it. A mind that wanders doesn't count the things that are already there. Right? I think I alluded to this morning. When a new book comes out, you don't count how many books you already own that are unread. That to-read pile is pretty big. And it just gets bigger. Right? Think about your favorite thing to go look at, your favorite thing to collect. Right? You don't count how many you got, you just get another one. And before you know it, you come back, you go, oh, I've got a whole lot of these. That's a lot of them. And then we get cute and we try to call it a collection. You ain't collecting them like stamps, you just kept buying them like a fool. Right? Well, I want this, I want that. Be content. Be content with what you have. You got to count. If you're counting your blessings, you'll know what's there. You'll know what you got. You know what's happening there. Right? Like my friend there in the apartment. You've got one wife already. Right? You don't need another woman's number. Well, it's for repairs later. Come on. Come on. Right? What do you have right now? Well, I've got this, and does it work real good? Oh, it works really good. Well, what are you looking at that one for? Well, you know, just keeping my options open. Be content. Count what you have. Count it as a blessing that you have it. Again, not that it's wrong to get new this, new that. Or if you have a need for it, you get to a place and you're always tired of not having something there with you. Hey, that makes sense to me. But let us count the things we have, so that we don't sit there and count ourselves at a loss because of the things we don't. Be aware of the blessings that are in your life. A mind that wanders doesn't pay attention to the resources either. I think I talked about this morning with the credit and debit card. You want to know why they do that? You don't know why that's such a big deal? Because if you have $50 and you spend $5 of it, you get $45 back, right? And you're looking at $45. If I toss a piece of plastic on the counter and they swipe it, do I have any idea what just took place? That there's no physical representation of that happening. And let's not pretend we pay attention to our receipts as much as we should. Right? How many people actually go back and look at their receipts? You look at my wallet, I've got a ton of receipts. You're supposed to do with those is go back, line it up with your bank account, make sure it's all good. But not everybody does that. A lot of people do is they go and they go and they go, and they wait until they get a text message or an email or a phone call from their bank going, stop! No, we got to count our resources. Count the things that are there. Count the food. Count the money. Count the experiences. Count the blessings that are there. Pay attention to what you have. I knew somebody who planned all their lives to go hiking in the Swiss Alps. All of them go hiking in the Swiss Alps. They're going to go hiking in the... They finally got the money together to do it, and they were going to go. They were 68 years old. Now that I'm out here and I've seen you folks, I know that don't mean nothing. But if I'm 68, I'm not entirely sure the best move for me would be out hiking the Swiss Alps. I don't know what would happen there. Right, a lot of vacations I would take at 68. Hiking the Swiss Alps, not one of the things I would go play with, right? Pay attention to the resources. What do you have? What's there? Going back to our thought this morning, how do I find contentment? If I'm not to let my mind wander, what do I put my mind upon? What do I rest my mind on? Whatever is true. I think of the truth of this word. I think of what the Bible has to say to me. I think of what God says is truth. And when my mind is there, and it is often there, I can find the truth in my desires, the truth in my impulse? Do I need this, or am I just expressing my sin nature? Is this a need, or is this gluttony? Is this something that I'm able to do, or am I kidding myself? So whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. If we were to sit there and consider the honesty of things, then we can sit there and be, hey, now I understand the nature of what I want. You know, hey, I need a new car. Okay, well, go forth, get you a new car. Does it have to be, a Maserati on your salary? Maybe not. Maybe not. And if you do have the money and you can do that comfortably, shotgun. You know, that's fine. But be content. What is the honesty behind it? Am I just looking for a thrill, or is this an honest thing that I should add to my life, or something that should honestly be missing? There are people in heaven right now I dearly miss. I miss them dearly. Oh, what I would give to pick up the phone to be able to speak to them. People who were very much like a father or a grandfather to me as I grew up. Would love to pick up the phone and talk to them. I can't. But I got to sit there and I got to be honest about my desire. It is better for them to be where they are. That's the honest truth of it. It is better for them to be in the sweet presence of our Lord than for them to be with me. So I must be honest about my feelings. I must be honest about them. What about fairness? I think that's where we ended this morning. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are just. What justice is there? There is no fairness in the things that you have. You have things that God put you into this area so you could have. There are children right now digging out bits of rock that will become the batteries that charge these smart cars and smartphones. Their whole life will be digging in that mine, and that life will be brutal and short. You're in a place of blessing. So let us be careful with how we see ourselves. You have more than what is fair. If the Lord saved my soul and laid me out as a pauper for the rest of my life, made me to live under a bridge, I would still have more than justice. More than fairness. That is the love God has shown to you. Let us not sit there and cry for more and bemoan not having more when God has given us more than our daily bread. And again, we've talked about justice. What would be justice for people like you and me? To die and spend eternity in hell, that's justice. Crime, punishment, that's it. Right? But that's not what God has done for you. He put upon flesh, lived a perfect life, died on a hard Roman cross for you. So when we consider the things that are just, there is no saying that's not fair with God. The very fact that he's not fair is the greatest blessing you'll ever have. So we need to think on things that are just. The more we think of things that are just and fair, the more we'll be able to see with clarity our little impulses and the nature of them. What about pure? Whatsoever things are pure. We need to think on pure things. We need to consider pure things. Entertain ourselves with pure things. Be surrounded by pure things. So that way when an impulse comes up that's impure, we can stop it where it is because we know that it's not good. We need to be able to love good and love the pure things so much that when the impure things come by, we can shut it down. I promise you, entertaining yourself with godliness, listening to godly music and worshiping him in the proper way and entertaining yourself with pure things, it will change your life. You might not recognize it for a while, but it will change your life. It'll change your entire outlook on things. When you put purity, the things that are pure before your eyes, and then all of a sudden when you are tempted to lack contentment over things, you'll look at those little desires and those things you think you're missing, and you'll be able to see it for what it is, and not want anything to do with it. That's not pure. That's not good. I've taught myself, I've trained myself to desire the things that are pure. So when you see something like that, you know to shut it down. You know to stop it. And that must be where we live. That must be what we do. To focus on the things which are pure. A lot of people, they lack contentment because God says, don't touch this. But there's a whole world out there saying that you should. A whole world out there saying that this is what's important. This is what's good. And they put themselves to it and their minds decay. Their minds atrophy. Because that's what impure things do to the body. That's what impure things do to the mind. They atrophy it. They make it weaker. We must be pure in our consumption of things. What about this? What about lovely? Isn't that a nice one? Lovely. Whatsoever things are lovely. You know, there are people out there, they consider some terrible things. Some terrible things. Hey, let's pick on food since it's me. You ever go to a buffet? Has it ever just looked lovely? Now think about it. You've ever walked across, you go, oh, what a lovely thing. Most of the time you look at that and you go, ah, that will do. Right? And that's typically, I don't have a lot of experience, but that's typically been my experience. Well, it'll do. It's been out here for 4 hours. Everybody and their brothers picked over it. It's been sitting under those heat lamps. It's pretty much jerky now. Ah. It's much, much better than what the meatloaf's looking like right now, right? Is it lovely? Hey, what about those things you think you gotta go have? You know, they may look good, but could we call them lovely? No, we settle. We just buy junk. We just get things. Or we buy into things that God tells us not to because we're not content with a Christian lifestyle, right? When you sit there and you look at that fruit, oh, it was a good fruit and it was good to look upon. You know, the one that got Adam and Eve, oh, it's good to look upon. It's good for food. Was that a lovely experience? I would say not. There's people out there, oh, you got to try drugs. You got to try drugs at least once. Listen, man, I've seen stuff. It's not lovely. I don't see it come back lovely. When you're sitting there pouring a 40, 50-year-old man into his apartment, and he's got more beer cans, he's got so many beer cans on his kitchen table, there's not a spot for anybody to set anything down on. That ain't lovely. I used to drive through work, or drive through to work, and I would have to go through a place called Lincoln Park. Lincoln Park, Allen Park, they're pretty run down. Allen Park is where the Lions used to go to train. But now it is a very risky and very dangerous place to be. I would drive to work, and every now and then you'd see a junkie passed out on the side of the road. And if I had enough time, I'd stop to call the police for him, call an ambulance. One time I stopped and I called for a guy, he's dead. That's not lovely, is it? But man, they show you a picture of a bunch of guys having a party at a house, and they're out at the club, and they're doing this, and they're dancing. They're having a good old time. They make it look lovely, but it ain't lovely. When you find them sleeping in their front yard, or thrown up all over themselves, or waking up in some stranger's house, and they don't know if they got there by their own desire or not. That's not lovely. How about a good report? How about a good report? Things that have a good report. Things that stand with a good reputation. Now, we've talked about that, you know. How do I put this? Anybody here think that fast food has a good reputation? Doesn't really have a good reputation, does it? We know a lot about it now, don't we? It doesn't have a very good reputation. So should we be involved in some of that stuff? Overeating, eating wrong things, people overspending. Sometimes people will want things doesn't have a good reputation for them to have. Right? We need to surround ourselves by things or with things that have a good report. Things that we know are true. I've never met too many people got themselves in trouble by honoring the Word of God. I've never myself gotten into too much trouble by being in church. The things that God tells me to do, never got in trouble with them. Now, I take that back. One time I got called down to the principal's office because my teacher told me I wasn't allowed to have a Bible with me as I was walking through school. And I told her I will do it anyway. I smarted off to her is what I did. But I didn't get in trouble for smarting off to her. I got in trouble. Well, listen, she says it makes people uncomfortable. I ain't ever gotten in trouble other than that. Never gotten in trouble. At least not trouble that mattered. We need to surround ourselves with what God has given us. Things of good report. And again, the more we think on the things of good report, the more obvious the ill-reported things will look to us. The more scary and the more off-putting those things will be. I got a phone call from the police officers. And they wanted a donation to the policeman's, whatever you call it, they're having a fundraiser. And he talked like this. Hello, sir. We are calling you on behalf of the policeman. I go, are you a robot? You know, I called it. It was to the church number. I picked it up. Are you a robot? No. This is a transcribed voice for clarity. You know, it almost reminded me of that one comedian. Where are you? I'm on the phone with you. Yeah. It's like, I know what that accent is hiding. Those things become obvious, don't they? When you surround yourself with the normal diction of human beings, you can tell a fake thing right off the bat. When you surround yourself by godly things, things with a good report, you'll recognize the fishy things real fast. You'll know bad preaching. You'll know bad doctrine. You'll know bad behavior. Why? Because you have surrounded yourself by the goodness of God. And once you spent time there, you know when something's not right. How about asking if something has virtue? Something have virtue. Is there any virtue in this behavior? This thing that I think that I lack, this thing that I think that I want or need, does it have any virtue to it? Is there any goodness to it? Is there any righteousness in it? Some people will sit there and they'll accept anything based on its neutrality alone. And we got to be real careful with what we consider to be neutral. I get into discussions with people all the time, arguments really. No, this kind of music, you know, music is neutral. Music won't push you one way or the other. Then why do we listen to it? You listen to sad songs when you're sad, or you listen to happy songs to make you happy, right? Listen to us, oh, I feel sad, so I'm going to listen to sad songs. Or maybe you're on the other side, hey, I'm sad, so I'm going to listen to a happy song. I don't know what mood you got to be in to hear about a guy who lost his truck, his dog, his refrigerator, and his girlfriend all in the same day. I don't know what kind of mood that is, or why you got to listen to it. And don't even get me started on the popular music today. The disgusting words that, by the way, have always been there. Oh, music today is so dirty and vile. Pop music has always been dirty and vile. You just didn't pick up on it because you liked it. I say you editorially because people like it, so they don't pick it up. You listen to some of that stuff, you really pay attention to it. You look up the lyrics, it make you go white as a sheet. I used to sing that. I used to listen to that on the way to church. And again, people, oh, okay, well, I listen to the oldies stuff. I listen to this, I listen to that. Come on now. Come on. What were kids doing to that music? You know, when mom and dad weren't around. We know what it was for. We know what they're talking about. They're subtle. Is there any virtue in this thing that God told me that I shouldn't have, but I want anyway? Is there any virtue in it? Well, clearly not. God wouldn't have spoken against it. What about this having too much or this thing that I think that I lack? Is there any virtue to it? Can it add to my virtue? And hey, will it take from my virtue? Will it take from it? I'm telling you right now, the things that a lack of contentment bring you, they take virtue from you. They take it away. They ruin your reputation. Right? When you're sitting there and you're in the doctor's office, hey, doc, I'm sick. Oh, it must be your weight. Lose some weight. Right? There's this guy. I don't know. Somebody sent me a clip. This guy was just, and I don't know why my friends send me video clips where people are just brutally honest and mean. I don't know why they think that that's something that I should, but anyway, sent me this clip of this guy who was going over somebody else's finances. The guy must have been an accountant. Why they agreed to film it, what they were doing, was it a skit? I don't know. But all I know is the guy was going through their finances, and he goes, all right, you make $4,000 a month, whatever it was. You, well, yeah. You spend, it was like $1,200 a month on eating out. And he just sat there and stared at him with these most with the most judgmental face I've ever seen. Just, are you out of your mind? He sits there and goes, oh, let's look over at your car note. Do you really spend $2,000 between your insurance and your car payment? Yeah. Are you out of here? And he just got louder and more bombastic about his reactions to things. Clearly that was the bit. But it takes away from our virtue. It takes away from us. It makes us look bad. You know, somebody comes over to your house, you got 15 shop vacs in your front yard. That's weird. But hey, you just had to have them. Right? Yeah. You go over to some of my relatives' house, you've got 5 cars in the front. In the front yard, only one of them runs. What are you doing? Or what was it? We joke about the lawnmower every now and then. All right, when it stalls, it stays where it is. Becomes a yard decoration. Right? What was that joke that one comedian said? Something about knowing you're crazy if people are always coming to your front yard thinking you have a yard sale or something like that. You ever do that? If you ever driven down Kentucky, especially where some of my folks are, it's very difficult to tell the difference between someone living and someone having a yard sale. It takes away from your virtue. Again, it teaches you bad behavior. You practice bad behavior. And believe me, that bad behavior is going to be seen by other folks. It's hard to hide a life that lacks contentment. And we finish with this. If there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, if there be any praise, can I praise the Lord for it, and can I praise the Lord with it? Lord, thank you very much for this 25-piece boneless McNugget. Lord, we praise you for our 15th remote control. Or whatever, right? Some things become very difficult to praise God with. Oh, Lord, I thank you very much for allowing this beautiful day and the sunshine and the birds to sing. And thank you for this hole-in-one I just sank. I'm just sad I won't be able to tell anybody at church. If you can't praise God with it, and you can't praise God for it, it might not be a good thing for you to have. Oh, Father, thank you very much for this random bauble to hang on my wall that I just picked up at a yard sale for way more than I was willing to spend. Okay, if we can't praise God for it, we can't praise God with it. You can't praise God with sin. You can't praise God with gluttony and excess and jealousy. Well, so-and-so had this and just drove me mad, made me real upset. Why do they get one and I don't have one? They can't be walking around with that suit or those shoes or whatever, and I don't have that. I have to go get it. You can't praise God for that. You got that because you were jealous. You can't praise God for that. You took too much advantage of a situation in order to get it. Right? If you had to steal to get it, if you had to do this, you had to do that. Going back to the 1 Timothy reference that we were looking at, it corrupts the soul to give the body everything that it wants. And it changes your mindset. I was listening to this story about this teacher. It broke my heart. She was behaving erratically all throughout the year. But then she came in and she was having a hard time staying awake, and she didn't look all that healthy. And they suspected that there might be issues with her, so they sent her off to the hospital to get tested and looked at to see if she's okay and check her for drugs as you do in a workplace. They found in her classroom, well, there was a bathroom in the classroom. She taught first graders. They found MDMA, ecstasy, in the classroom bathroom. Because she taught herself, as many addicts do, as many sinners do, to have whatever the body desires. And it took her to a place that was horrifying to think about. Horrifying to think about. Danielle and I heard this. I don't think we heard it, but it was a video news report type thing of a teacher 2 weeks into the school year got fired and jailed for drinking on the job. And these are the people that get caught. You know how some people who drink do? They go years without getting caught. I've known people who lived a whole career without getting caught. That's not the lifestyle I want. A lifestyle that always craves one more, one last time, this, that. That's not a lifestyle you ought to have, especially if God has blessed you with what He has blessed you with. Let us all look to what we have. Look to the things that we need and look at the resources God has provided and see that we are in an excess and be glad for it. And be glad for it. You know, look at the car you have. Now, some of you've got buttons, fancy buttons that do fancy things. Be glad for those fancy buttons. It'll stop you from going into one of those Teslas that'll drive for you, you know. Be glad for it. Right? And I'm not saying that you've got to sit there and drive a Yugo. Do they sell Yugos anymore? I don't know. But I hear they're not safe. Be glad for the things you have. If God's blessed you with above and beyond to where you can afford a little bit more, you better be glad. And if you're not one of those people, stop looking at others going, oh, I'm not as blessed as other people. No, you've got what you need. Aren't you glad? You're not the age you are digging out coal because you can't afford stuff. Be glad. You're still living in luxury. You're still living in luxury compared to most people on this planet. I was talking to somebody about my age, complaining and whining about the government. Not the way I do it. I do it in a cool way. They do it in a bad way. They're liberals, so it's wrong. I do draw that distinction. Anyway. Well, I think it's dumb they control this and we can't have abortions that. Blah, 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 this is wrong. Blah, blah, blah. I just want to leave. I want to get out of this country. I go, you find one that will allow you to say half the stuff you just said, you let me know. I don't think you're going to find it. I don't know what's supposed to happen tomorrow, but tomorrow's supposed to be like a big day to go support Palestine or something like that. I said, the best thing you can do for those people is head on over there, buckets of water. You go support them with your sodomite lifestyle. You'll find out real quick. You'll find out real quick how they feel about Americans. You'll find out real quick how they treat people who show up and try to tell them what to do. Right? Oh, to be content. Is what we have perfect? Uh-uh. But we have a lot. And in acknowledging that we have a lot, it'll stop us from taking too much and stop us from being miserable about what we don't have. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, help us from taking too much. Lord, you bless us with our daily bread. Some folks you bless with good bank accounts, strong bank accounts. But Father, for some reason, for all the doors in our houses and cars and all the fancy lighting that we have and all the great blessings you bestow upon us, we still have it in our hearts to say, well, I wish this and it's not fair that. Lord, it's disrespectful to you is what it is. Lord, help us to take whatever state we are in, rich, poor, fed, hungry, whatever. Lord, lift it up to you and say, thank you for what you've given me. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. So that, Lord, we don't live corrupt lives, willing to cheat and ruin our virtue, ruin our testimonies, make ourselves look foolish. Just because we want more. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us to be content. For its name of Jesus we pray. Amen.